Okay, when we last were learning 2 weeks ago, so we read the story, the narrative of Ataliah. We read the
I didn't feel
narrative
the
of
water, or
the
else we
woman
didn't
who
have
wanted,
all
the
turned out my
mother,
daughter.
the queen mother who wanted to be the king or the queen, she met a very ignoble end, she was brought down. But together with that, also the Beit HaBaal was brought down as well. Two prakim ago, we saw that the destruction that had been brought out by Yehu, who was kind of the political manifestation of Elijah, had destroyed all of the children of Ahab and all of those who had gotten involved with Ahab, and all those in Judah who had served the Baal. And in last week's parasha, so let's just get that up again. In last week's parak, just get that up here. We saw a further destruction of the Beit HaBaal, as it's presented. Malachim Bet here. Just what we saw 2 weeks ago, in chapter 11. So let me just share the screen. So in chapter 11, so we had seen that Ataliah, who was the mother of Ahaziahu, the king of Judah, she saw that her son Ahaziahu had been killed. And she destroyed the rest of the family because she wanted to take over. And by doing that, in a certain sense, she also was potentially destroying the promise of God that it would be Beit David, it would be the house of David that would continue and continue and continue. By, so to speak, taking the reins of leadership, she was undermining the Beit David. Number two, the fact that she was also a daughter of Ahav, also was, in a certain sense, trying to reestablish the cult of the Baal, that had been kind of brought down by Yehu, and she was trying, so to speak, the last gasp of trying to establish the cult of the Baal. And of course, with the cult of the Baal, what that meant was that the Beit HaMikdash was being abandoned. The temple was not being used, and instead, the Beit HaBaal was being used. And the temple was certainly a place which represented, everything that was in contrast to Ataliah, to the line of Ahav, and to their ideology and theology. And so what we have here, Vatikach Yehosheva bat HaMelech, Yoram, the daughter of Melech Yoram, Achot Achaziahu, et Yoash ben Achaziahu, the little boy, Vatignovoto mitoch b'nei HaMelech, ve'otovet minikto b'chadar HaMitot, vayastirehu oto mipnei Ataliah v'lohumat. So we saw last week that he had been saved from, twice, 2 weeks ago, he had been saved from death by being brought to the Cheder HaMitot. We don't know exactly what this Cheder HaMitot is, but it is in the Beit HaMikdash. She takes him away from the house where all the Bnei HaMelech live, and she hides him. Vayhi ita Beit Hashem. So you have here the contrast between the Beit Hashem, you have the Beit HaMikdash versus the Beit HaMelucha, versus the house of the king. So you have here a very, very, very stark, so to speak, symbolic contrast. But so to speak, who will win out? Will it be the Beit HaMikdash, which has been abandoned and is now hiding the once and future king? Or will it be this usurper to the throne that has taken over the throne, has killed out all of the Beit David? And second of all, what you see here is the integral connection between the Beit HaMelucha and the Beit HaMikdash, something that we saw from the very beginning of the Book of Kings, the total interweaving of the creation of the house of David and the house of God, which God already had promised back in the Book of Samuel, that David, you won't build me a house because you don't yet have a house. You don't yet have progeny that will continue your line. When you have a house, when you're established, when you are set and stable, then God, so to speak, can be stable. And so the first couple of chapters of the Book of Kings talk about two basic stories: the establishment of the house, i.e. the house of David, and the establishment of the house of God, i.e. the Beit HaMikdash. That's the beginning of the Book of Kings. Here too, there is this kind of interesting play between what's going on in the Beit HaMelech and what's going on in the Beit HaShem. And we saw that 2 weeks ago, just a quick review, that Yehoyada, Yehoyada, who is the Kohen HaGadol, and who is the husband, we'll soon find out, of this Yehosheva Bat HaMelech, he's the one, again, integrating and once again connecting between the house of the king and the house of the Lord. He takes, after 7 years, seven, of course, being very significant, he decides that this is the time to make a play. Is it that after 7 years, there was a lot of disenchantment with Ataliah? Did something happen in the seventh year? Or is it simply symbolic that, you know, after, you know, 6 years of being under the thumb of Ataliah, symbolically, now there's going to be a Shabbat, there's going to be freedom? Again, the Bible is, you know, very cryptic here, but they run this conspiracy. Vayichrot lehem brit, vayashba otam. They create a brit, which of course is a nice play on Yehosheva, just like Bat Sheva. Here is Yehosheva, Sheva Shanim, and the nice play between Sheva and Shvuah. That's a constant play in the Bible and in later subsequent rabbinic literature. Shavua, a week, a seven, as well as a shvua, an oath. And they establish the brit b'beit Hashem, and they establish this child as the king. Now, obviously, he is 7 years old. He's not going to be able to be the king. The real king, the real power behind the throne at this point is, of course, Yehoyada, the Kohen. So once again, the Kohanim are in the back. They are the ones supporting and establishing the Melucha in this situation. And for those who have a certain ear, there's a sort of echo later on in Jewish history here of the Kohanim, so to speak, rallying around and running the show and establishing the Melucha and trying to clear out the temple from the Avodah Zarah and trying to clean out the land. It has the echo of what eventually becomes Hanukkah. It's almost as if, you know, Yehoyada here is kind of the Matityahu figure. And we're going to see that this child, Yehoash, or Yoash, as he's called, Yehoash or Yoash, he's the child who's going to, so to speak, play the role of kind of, you know, Yehuda HaMakabi or others. So that's what we learned about 2 weeks ago. Ataliah hears about this. She comes to try to confront it, but unfortunately it's too late. She says, Kesher, Kesher, there's a conspiracy. Vayitzav Yehoyada Kohen et Sarei HaMeot. Vayomer Hotzio Ta El Mi Beit Lasderot. Outside. Ki Amar Kohen Al Tumat Beit Hashem. Keep that also in the back pocket. So we have in the back pocket the Cheder HaMitot. We have the fact that he's hidden in this Cheder HaMitot. And we have the fact that he commands, Yehoyada commands, that she should be killed, but only outside of the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is not a place where people should be murdered, killed, even if it's justified. Ki amar kohen al tumat beit Hashem. She should not be killed. Yes, of course, as is pointed out, this play on words of Shavua and Be'er Sheva and Bat Sheva, it appears many, many times in the Bible. And they come, but what's interesting again is they kill her outside of Beit Hashem, and they establish a brit. Once again, remember that in the two chapters ago, in the story of Yehu, they had destroyed the Beit HaBaal. If we go back, just one chapter, in the time of, Yehu had destroyed the Beit HaBaal together with, he had gathered them all together, and he gathered all of the people, and he made a whole thing, and he had killed out, and they had come to the Beit HaBaal, Vayavo kol avdei HaBaal, v'lo nishar ish shelo, Vayavo Beit HaBaal, Vayimalei Beit HaBaal peh lepeh, etc., etc. And they come, and they kill all of the Beit HaBaal, as they're, again. And they come, they kill them, and they...
Vayashmei Yehu et HaBaal v'Yisrael.
Right. And he goes, Vayotsu et Matzvot Beit HaBaal, Vayisrefu, Vayitsu et Matzvat Beit HaBaal, Vayitsu et Beit HaBaal, Vayasimu. So basically, 7 years ago, they had destroyed the Baal from, they had basically eradicated the cult of the Baal from Eretz Yisrael, and certainly from Eretz Yehuda. They had certainly destroyed it. However, when we come to chapter 11, it's clear that that had been resuscitated under Atalia. Atalia was kind of the last gasp of the Beit Achav, the Beit of the Baal theology. And here too, they come, and 7 years later, they have to re-destroy the Beit HaBaal. Vayavo kol am ha'aretz Beit HaBaal, vayitzuhu et mizbechotav vet slamav shibru heitev. Vet matan kohen abal hargu lefnei ha'mizbechot. Vayasem ha'kohen pkudot al Beit Hashem. So there was once again, during the 7 years of Atalia, she had rehabilitated the cult of the Baal, which was very hard to root out from Israel. And once again, there has to be a destruction of the Beit HaBaal. And that's exactly what they do. And at that point, they symbolically bring this child, Vayoridu et HaMelech mi Beit Hashem. They take him from the Beit HaMikdash, So what you have here is he goes from Beit Hashem to Beit HaMelech. So we have, so to speak, three bites, three houses. You have the Beit HaBaal, which is destroyed. You have the Beit Hashem, which is where the child was incubated and taken care of. And you have the Beit HaMelech, where he comes to. Now, we can start chapter 12. And chapter 12 tells us that he's 7 years old, and his name is Yehoash, which is a theosophic name. He's also called Yoash in the book of Divrei HaYamim, which is very, very interesting. And we're going to have to compare and contrast some of the material that we're taught here in chapter 12 and some of the material that we're taught in Divrei HaYamim. So, Bishnat Sheva Liyehu, the seventh year of Yehu, Malach Yehoash. Correct, because it was 7 years. Ba'arba'im Shana Malach Mishalayim, which tells us he was a very successful king for 40 years. 40 years is stability. 40 years is, reminds us, if you look in the previous perek ended with that language that reminded us of, I'm sorry, not the previous perek, but it reminded us, let's go forward, reminded us of the period of time of the Shoftim, where the text says, the Haaretz Shakta, Arba'im Shana. So here too, the language which is used, let me just see. Yeah. It says, Vaismach kol ha'aretz v'ha'ir shakata. The city was quiet, which reminds us of almost the language of the book of Shoftim. The land was quiet. And in the very next chapter, in chapter 12, it tells us that he was king for 40 years, which of course, again, reminds us of a generation. And here too, again, the Sheva theme. Yehosheva, Bishnat Sheva, from Be'er Sheva, there's Sheva, there's Shvua, all these references. It also again reminds us, I think, it has echoes of Bat Sheva, who established on the throne, who would be the continuity of the house of David. And now we have the continuity of the house of David because Yehoash had been saved and he's able to continue. Vayas Yoash Hayashar Be'enei Hashem Kol Yamav. In the book of Kings, Yoash is basically a very good king, not too much blemishes. He's presented in a very, very good light. However, we'll see at the end that clearly something happened, but it's not explicated at great length. That's why we need the book of Chronicles. The only problem was, like in every other place, the personal altars continued. Vayomer Yoash al Kohanim, kol kesef hakodashim asher yuva beit Hashem, kesef over ish, kesef nafshot arko, kol kesef shele alev ish, lavi beit Hashem. So he, again, you can only understand it in light of the two previous chapters. You can't understand this. The fact is that the Beit HaBaal had gotten all of the income and all of the funds and all of the governmental assistance. And so the Beit HaMikdash had fallen into repair, if not literally from disuse. Maybe it had been looted to be transferred to the Beit HaBaal. Maybe it had been, just not taken care of. It also was 150 years old. You know, anything that's 150 years old, if it's not constantly being repaired and nobody's interested in it because they're all going to the Beit HaBaal, so you understand very well. During all the time of Achav and during all the time of Atalia, you have the Beit HaBaal. So you understand that the Beit HaMikdash is in need of great support. And so the text tells us that Yehoash, once again, talks to the Kohanim. The interaction between the priesthood and Yehoash, who is again the son of a priest, but he's now the Melech, again, reminding us of the later on in history, the interesting where the Kohanim play the role of the Melech in Chanukah. Remember Yehoash HaLakonim, three types of money that are going to come. Asher Yuvah Beit Hashem, Kesef Over Ish, which has the echo of the beginning of Kesef Over Ish is a very strange phrase, but it probably echoes what you find in the book of what you find in Parshat Kitisa, which we're going to read next week. In Parshat Kitisa, so the Bible uses the term, if we look at chapter 31? Or 30, I'm sorry. Chapter 30, where the Bible starts, Kitisat Rosh B'nei Yisrael, Lifkutehem v'natnu ish kofer nafsho la'ashem bifkorotam v'lo yelehem negef bifkorotam ze yitnu kol ha'over al ha'pkudim machzit ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh esrim geira ha'shekel machzit ha'shekel truma la'adunai kol ha'over al ha'pkudim miben esrim shana v'mala yitain trumat ha'shem ha'ashir lo yabev adal yomim machzit ha'shekel yitain trumat ha'shem l'chaper al nafsho teichem. So the Bible talks here about kol ha'over al ha'pkudim. Kol ha'over al ha'pkudim. Anyone who passes to be counted. So it may be that this is what we're referring to. When we talk here about the types of monies that can be collected from the various donations. So he mentions three types of donations. Kol kesef hakadoshim eshu beit Hashem kesef over ish. That may be a reference to the half shekel. Kesef nafshot arko, which are, the Bible talks about people who decide to do a neder. They decide to do a vow and say, I want to donate my worth, erki, to the Beit HaMikdash. It's an entire chapter at the end of the book of Leviticus. And then finally, kol kesef asher yaleh alev ish. So to speak, voluntary donations. Yikhu lahem akonim. So everything that is being given should be now diverted, instead of being used for the daily upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, we need to have a special campaign. And that special campaign should divert the funds immediately to the Bedek HaBayit. Yikhu lahem akonim ish me'et makaro. They should collect it from the people they know. Interesting. It is not an obligatory tax. It is rather done from the people you know. Go and solicit from your friends, from your circle of friends and family. And they should fix up the things that need fixing up in the Beis HaMikdash. If the walls are starting to fall apart, if the paint is starting to fall apart, if there's holes, if there's mold, if there's this or this. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us for how long they were supposed to do this for. And it skips 23 years. 23 years. Vayhi bishnat 23 shana lamelech Yehoash. It was in the 23rd year. So it either means when he was 23 years old, which would mean it's 16 years later, or it could mean in his 27th year of being king, 23rd year of being king, which means when he's 30, lo chizku ha-kohanim et berek ha-bayis. Something went wrong. The plan didn't work. The money was not being used for proper. Now, why wasn't the money being used for proper? The text doesn't tell us. It hints at something in the next pasuk. Vayikra melech Yehoshua lakohanim vayomer lehem madua einchem mizchazkim et berek habayit. Ve'ata al tikchu kesef meit makarem ki leberek habayit tiknu. Do not collect any more from your friends and neighbors, because it is supposed to go for the Berek HaBayit, and it's not getting there. The implication here is that there was some, what we would call, corruption. It seems there is some corruption going on in the, again, it's very cryptic, but it seems that there was some corruption going on here, that taking money just from your friends and family didn't necessarily play itself out well. As we well know, when you're taking money from friends and family and from big donors, on the one hand, it could be great. On the other hand, it can also create all kinds of kickbacks. It can create all kinds of issues. It can create all kinds of dependencies. It can create all kinds of things. It also, some have written that the Kohanim may not have been so quick to spend that money and force themselves to collect that money, because maybe they thought that it would, they subsisted on the truma and the maaser that was donated to them. And, maybe having a friend who you normally got truma and maaser from, maybe they would get less if they were also collecting for the Berek HaBayit. There's all kinds of theories that are out there, but something obviously happened. The Bible is very silent. It's very cryptic. Clearly, it was not being used properly. And so instead, there is the first pushka is created. Vayikach yo yada kohen, aron echad, vayikov char bedalto. He takes an aron, he takes some sort of box, and he puts a chor, he makes a hole in it, ויתן אותו עץ על המזבח בימין, ובוא איש בית השם, ונתנו שם הכהנים שומרי הסף, את כל, sorry, את כל, so they put this tzedakah box right next to the mizbeach. Anybody who came and brought a mizbeach would put in some money. It became a kind of tax, and everyone v'natnu shama kohanim shomrei asaf et kol hakesef hamugah beit Hashem. Any monies that were brought in donation were immediately deposited into this little pushka. Vayhi kirotam kirav hakesef baron. When there was too much, it was starting to overflow. Vayal sofer hamelech vakohen hagadol vayatsuru vayimnu et hakesef hanimtza beit Hashem. So now you have a whole system. Instead of it being slop plop, instead of it being each kohen without any oversight, here you now have an oversight. You have the sofer hamelech, you have the kohen hagadol coming and ensuring that the money that is in the tzedakah box is transferred to exactly what it's supposed to do. There's an immediate transfer of the funds to the contractors, to the builders, to all those who need to do what they're supposed to do. V'natnu et hakesef hametuchan al yad osei hamelacha hamefukadim beit Hashem vayotziu l'charashei ha'etz v'labonim ha'osim beit Hashem. It's immediately passed on. Very little overhead. There's no overhead, there's no offices, there's no executive directors. It's immediately transferred to the workers. V'lago dream ulechotzvei ha'even, to those who build the fences and those who hew the stone, v'liknot etzim v'avnei machzev l'chazek et berek beit Hashem, to fix up all the things that needed to be fixed up. Ulechol asher yetzel habayit lechozka, to strengthen it. Ach lo yeaseh beit Hashem sipot kesef mizamrot mizrakot chatzotzot kol klei zahav min hakesef. This was not used for the kelim. There was clearly a separate fund that was collected to build, to fix or replace the kelim, the utensils. Ki la oseh hamelacha yitnu. It was simply directed, right? There were different campaigns, and this campaign was for the oseh hamelacha. It was for the workers to fix the pipes, fix the wood, fix everything that needed to be fixing. V'lo yichashvu et anashim yasheitnu et kesef ayadam latet lo oseh hamelacha. There was, you know, ki be'emuna heim osim. In this context, the people who transferred the money, they were trusted. They wouldn't pocket the money. They did it with trust, with loyalty, and it was not overseen. Kesef hasham v'chesef chataut lo yuvah beit Hashem l'kohanim yiyu. And again, this was not money that was used for the korbanot. That money was given to the kohanim to use to purchase animals, etc., etc. So the Bible, that's the first half of this parak, and the Bible tells us about what happened. Again, so we have a very, very nice picture of Yehoyada and a very nice picture of Yehoash. Yehoash is this king. All of a sudden, the Bible tells us about, you know, all of a sudden, Az Ya'alech Hazael Melech Aram. Hazael, who had been appointed, all of a sudden Aram attacks. Vayilachem al Gat. He attacks in Gaza. Vayasem Hazael Panav Lalot al Yushalayim. Vaykach Yoash Melech Yudah et Kol HaKadoshim Asher Yikdishu Yoshafat V'Yehoram V'Chazia Avotav Malchei Yudah V'et Kol HaZahav HaNimtza V'Otzot Beit Hashem V'Beit HaMelech. He has to bribe Melech Aram to save Jerusalem. So the Bible in the previous chapter told us about the conspiracy that killed Ataliah, and the Bible ends with a conspiracy here that killed Yoash. Vayaku et Yoash beit milo hayared sila, v'yozachar ben shimat, v'yovad ben hikau v'yamot, v'yikrotum avutav, v'yimloch amatziah b'no tachtav. Very strange. The Bible is silent and doesn't tell us, why is it that Hazael attacks? Why is it that Joash meets this fate of being killed? The Bible is silent. Is it because it doesn't want to get into the nitty-gritty of the downfall of Jehoash to give him credit for everything positive that he did? I don't know. But the only way to understand what's going on here, who is allowed to be near the altar? So we know that the halacha is that in the chatzer and in the altar, all Jews were allowed to be near the altar. They could shecht it even, shechita kashera bazar, and Jews could come very close to the altar. They couldn't go up on the altar, but they were certainly were able to come near the altar. So, as I said, the text doesn't tell us, keeps it close to the vest. So the only way that we can understand a little bit more is by looking at Divrei HaYamim. Now, when we read Divrei HaYamim, and we're going to see much more information, we have to posit, you know, one of, you know, two or three possibilities. Possibility number one is that there were different sources that were accessible to the writer of Divrei HaYamim, who's writing in the time of the Second Temple, Ezra, Nehemiah, even a little bit later, and retrospecting. And he has access to sources that, you know, the writer of the book of Malachim didn't necessarily have, number one. Or possibly he has access to the same sources, but Malachim chose to suppress those sources. Or in a more radical note, you could sometimes say that Divrei HaYamim is engaging in midrash. It's engaging in trying to understand the crypticness of the Book of Kings and offers a suggestion to try to understand what's going on. Correct. Obviously, Hazael comes from the northeast to Gat. There's a lot of stuff in between. That's true. But clearly, you know, Hazael at this point decided, for whatever reason, again, we don't know all of the details to go there, but that's what the Bible chooses to focus on. It may be that he captured a lot of other things also on the way, but at the same time, the Bible chooses to focus on the battles of the south, because in this chapter, we're focusing on the south. So we look at Divrei HaYamim. So obviously, we have to look at Divrei HaYamim Bet, because all the kings of Divrei HaYamim Aleph are still up until David and Shlomo. All the kings post-Shlomo only appear in Divrei HaYamim Bet. So let's take a look at Divrei HaYamim Bet, Chaf Bet. And the Bible tells us about the establishment of our good friend after the death of Ahaziah. Ataliyahu aim Ahaziah ra'ata kimeit benav, v'ataka metabel kol zera, she tries to destroy kol zera melucha, v'atikach yo shav'at v'atamelchet Yoash, here he's called Yoash, and again, it's interesting, he's not called Yehoash. Is that significant? She is called Yehoshav'at, not Yosheva, but Yoshav'at. He's called Yehoyada, but he loses the full theosophic name. Is that a statement already that the picture of Yoash in the book of Divrei HaYamim is going to be more negative? Some of the Parshanim connect the word Yoash here with Yeush, despair. Is that what Divrei HaYamim is already hinting at? A sense of despair, given what we're going to find out soon? I don't know. But that is what the Bible tells us. V'atikach Yoshavat bat melchet Yoash ben Achaziah, v'atignov oto mibeit v'atiten oto b'chadar ha-mitot. He ends up in this chadar ha-mitot. I said, keep that in the back pocket. V'atastirehu Yoshavat bat melch eshet Yoyada kohen. Divrei HaYamim first of all tells us that she is the wife of Yehoyada. Ki hayta achot Achaziah mipnei Ataliah v'lo hi mitu. V'hitam beit Elohim mitchabei sheish shanim. So now we go to the next chapter. The next chapter tells us, seems to be a summary It tells us about Vayichrot, he makes a brit. Vayichrot kol kahal brit beveit elokim im hamelech. Vayomer lahem hinei ben hamelech imloch. Kashedi ber Hashem al b'nei David. And exactly, etc., etc. And he sets up a system to protect the Beit HaMikdash, what we, right, to reestablish the, what we would call the Mishmarot, and etc., etc. And they kill Ataliah, as we learned about, okay? And then they destroy the Beit HaBaal, everything that we learned about. Everybody is happy. We go to the next chapter, and we get to the second part of our chapter. So he is, the Bible tells us, Vayi acharechein, vaya im lev yoash l'chadesh et beit Hashem, vayitbots et kohanim v'aleviim, v'emlem tzu le'are Yehuda v'kibtzu mikol Yisrael, kesef l'chazek et beit Eloheichem midei shana b'shana, v'atem timaru l'davar, v'lo mi'aru aleviim. They didn't do it. Vayikra melech Yehuda arosh, vayomer madua lo darash l'alvim l'avim Yehuda et masat Moshe v'et Hashem, ki ataliyah mirshad banea partzu et beit Elohim. The Bible gives us an insight of what had happened during the time of Ataliyah. They had come in into the Beit Elokim, part two, again, reminds us of eventually the Hanukkah story of Ubau part two. They came in, the Gam Kodshe Asu Leba'alim, they took all the Kodshe Beit Hashem, whatever that means. Does it mean the Kelim? Does it mean money? And they did it for the Baal. And the Bible skips over all the other stuff, and it goes straight to the Aron, the first tzedakah box. And this is what happens, etc., etc. And they bring it until it's full. This is the vision that we have, and everything is very good, very good, very good, very good. And then the Bible tells us information that is missing in the book of Kings. That all this was great and all this was wonderful. Ukechalutam heviu lifnei ha-melech v'yodat sher ha-kesef v'yasu kelim lebeit Hashem klei sharet. Different from the book of Kings. Here they use the money and they make the kelim. V'alot v'chapot uklei zahav v'yu ma'alim olot v'beit Hashem tamid kol yimei Yehoyada. Vayizkan Yehoyada, vayizba yamim, maybe a play on the Shvua. He is full of days. Vayamot ben meir shloshim shana b'moto, vayikberu b'yir David, ki asa tova b'Yisrael v'im Elohim b'eto. Va'acharei mot Yehoyada, ba'u sarei Yehuda v'ishtachavu la'melech, az shama ha'melech aleihem. For the book of Dira Yamim, the death of Yehoyada, the mentor of Yoash, who had hidden him and raised him and had interacted with him, the Kohanim and the Melachim had interacted, okay? That person, his death brought about others who decided to step in. Vayavo ba'u sarei Yehuda v'ishtachavu l'melech. Az shama ha'melech aleihem. And he listened to them. Vayazvu et beit Hashem lo yavotehem. Vayavdu et ha'ashirim et ha'tzabim. Vayhi ketzef al Yehuda v'yishlaim b'ashmatam. Vayishlach b'hem nevi'im la'shivam al Hashem v'yidu b'am v'lo ezinu. The Bible tells us an entire episode, a narrative that is absent in the book of Kings. That the death of Yehoyada was a Rubicon, was a watershed event in which, at a certain point, the king, for whatever reason, was there political troubles that the Sarei Yehuda said, you have to turn, you have to have syncretistic religion, you have to allow for other worship, because maybe the destruction of the Baal and the destruction of other things may have brought us certain calamities. Aram is getting stronger and we need protection. Who knows But the Bible tells us that their policies of the Sarei Yehudah who influenced, and again, it's clear that Yoash is a person who can be influenced. He's influenced by Yehoyada. He's influenced by his mother. And he's influenced here with the death of Yehoyada. He doesn't have that mentor anymore. He's influenced by this new group who feels that maybe for political alliances, they need to reestablish worship of these gods in order to make alliances with the other city-states in and around the Judean territory. Because Aram is getting stronger. And maybe they need, again, this is all conjecture, but you have to read between the lines. And again, from the perspective of the Bible, this is what's called in fancy literature, the Sibatiyut HaKfula. The Bible constantly presents the kind of double rationale and cause and effect. On the one hand, this is a theological reading that whatever punishment, suffering will come about to Judah, it's because of their turn to the Asherim and the Atzabim, etc. Now, when Hazael is going to attack, the Bible doesn't tell us that he did it because he thought he was fulfilling the will of God. He does it for his own political purposes. This is a good time to attack Judah. They're in transition. They're in this, they're in that, they're weak. This is the time. So you have the kind of double. And now we have a story, once again, that is famous to us, but not because it's in the Book of Kings, but because we read about it. Many of us know about it from Tisha B'Av, from the keynote of Tisha B'Av. This is the source of the story. The Bible tells us that they sent, God sent Nevi'im, and they didn't listen to them. Lashivam Lashem Vayidu Bam. They didn't listen to these prophets. The brit that they had made was thrown aside. But the Bible tells us, V'ruach Elokim lavsha et Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen, which is a very strong language. Ruach Elokim lavsha et Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen. The Spirit of God went to the son of Yehoyada HaKohen. You have the son of the king, i.e. Yoash, and now you have the son of his mentor. Vayamod me alam vayimalehem komar alim lama atem ovrim et mitzvat Hashem velo tatzlichu, which of course is reminiscent for those who hear the echo. This is the ma'apilim. This is the ones who decide to go up and try to capture the land of Israel even against God's explicit will. Here too, there's an echo here that if you think that doing this of worshiping the Baal, the Asherah, excuse me, and the Atzabim is going to make you successful in battle in the upcoming challenges with Aram, you're mistaken. Lama atem ovrim et mitzvot Hashem v'lo tatzlichu. Okay? Again, just to remind us of the language in Tanakh. Remind us of the language in Tanakh. If you look back in Tanakh, if you look back in, excuse me, in chapter, the end of chapter 14, with the Ma'apilim, that's exactly, Hashem says, Vayashkimu boker vayalu al rosh ahar, vayamru hinenu ve'alinu al makom asher amar Hashem, ki chatanu, we want to go. Vayamru Moshe, lama ze atem ovrim et pi Hashem, v'hi lo titzlach. Al ta'alu kein Hashem v'kirbechem v'lo tinag fu lifnei Hashem. You're going to die. Ki al kein shavtem yachorei Hashem v'lo yu Hashem imachem. V'yapilu la'alot v'aron brit Hashem lo moshu v'yirei malaki v'aknani ayu shebahar v'yakum v'yaktum ad ha'chorma. So here we have the same echo here. That whatever they did, Zechariah ben Yehoyada ha'kohen v'yamod me'alam v'yomer. Lama atem ovrim et mitzvat Hashem v'lo tatzlichu ki azavtem et Hashem v'yazov etchem. You've abandoned God. God is not with you. Vayikshiru alav. So now, instead of a conspiracy against the king, there's a conspiracy, a kesher, against the prophet and the Kohen. Vayirgemu b'mitzvat hamelech v'chatzar beit Hashem. Remember, in the previous chapter, they were careful not to kill. Yehoyada said, don't kill Atalia in the Beit Hashem, because in the Beit Hashem is not a place for killing, even of the evil, as she's called here above, Atalia, she was called Hamir Sha'at, the evil one. Even though she had defiled the temple and stripped the temple, again, echoing what eventually will happen, they didn't kill her there and then. But here, they go and they kill Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen. Vayirgemu Evan, they stone him as a criminal, as a Moreid b'melech, b'chatzar beit Hashem. V'lo Zachar Yoash HaMelech HaChesed Asher Asai Yehoyada Aviv Imo. He abandoned and he forgot the chesed that Yehoyada had done to protect him. Vayaroget bino uchimoto amar, as he died, yere Hashem vidrosh. God should see and avenge. Avenge, vidrosh means and seek out. Of course, whenever innocent blood is spilled, the word lidrosh is used in Tanakh, as we know from the very, very beginning of Tanakh. If you look in chapter 9 in the book of Tanakh, God says, "Ve'ach edimchem lenafshotechem edrosh, miyad kol chaya edrishenu, umiyad ha'adam miyad ish achav edrosh, et nefesh ha'adam." I'm going to seek out the blood that is spilled, the innocent blood that is spilled. And here is exactly what happens. That's what he says. It's also, of course, a play on words. This Kohen Navi is Zechariah, remembered by God. And instead of remembering, Yoash forgets. V'lo Zachar Yoash HaMelech. So Yoash HaMelech does not remember and instead kills Zechariahu, the one who is remembered by God, or the one who teaches you to remember God and not abandon God. Vayaroget b'no uchumoto. And the Bible ends off by telling us, again, the notion that this is what led to the destruction of Vayhi l'tkufat ha'shana, Allah lav chel aram, Vayavol yudav yushalayim, Vayashchitu et kol sarei ha'am me'am, V'chol shalom shilchu l'melech damesek, כי במצער אנשים באו חיל הרם, והשם נתן בידם חיל הרוב מאוד, כי עזבו את השם. It's explaining why they had the debacle. ואת יואש עשו שפטים. They tortured and punished יואש. ובלכתם ממנו, כי עזבו אותו במחלויים רבים. They left him with a lot of injuries. התקשו עליו עבדיו בדמי בני יהודה הכהן. They came to avenge the blood. Vayargu al mitato. He's killed on his bed. Talk about closing a circle. He was saved as a little boy. And he was raised and hidden in chadar hamitot. Remember I told you to keep it in the back pocket? And he's killed on his bed. Vayargu al mitato. Our good friend Yoash dies in his bed. Vayikbaru bi'ir David. V'lo kvaru b'kivrot ha-malachim, but he wasn't buried in kivrot ha-malachim. V'elu ha-mitkashrim alav zavad, etc. U'banav yirev ha-masala v'yiso beit lahim hinam k'tuvim al-midrash sefer ha-malachim v'imloch ha-matziyahu b'no tachtav. So the Bible closes here in the book of Divrei Yamim and gives us. And as I mentioned before, this story is very familiar to many of us from the keynote, right? If you remember the language of the keynote, of the elegies that we say on Tisha B'Av, Im Yehareg Kohen V'Navi, if a prophet, right? Alalai Li, the Jews complain that God has brought them terrible disaster. But the Jews somehow forget that they killed. And again, if you remember, if you've studied many of the Gemarot and Midrashim that are associated with the Churban, you have those very powerful images that the blood of Zechariah HaKohen, right, was bubbling when Nebuzadran came into the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemarot in Gittin, in the fifth parak of Gittin, which describe Agadot HaKurban, the Agadot of the destruction of the temple, speak about the blood of his, you know, Kol Demei Achicha, so Akim Elai Mina Adama, in the context of Im Yeharei Kohen V'Navi Alelai Li, which is exactly the story here of Zechariah. Okay. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, next week, we will start the period of Amatzia, which will lead us into a more golden age in the history of the southern kingdom, specifically the Tkufa of Amatzia, followed by Uzziyahu and Azariyahu, the same guy. And we'll talk about that and the great potential, and of course the great debacle that leads to the famous Nevuot of Yeshayahu. That's where we're coming to. We are in terms of chronology, we're in the, you know, 820s BCE, 800 BC, that's where we're around now. And we're going to see what's happening, 820, 810, and finally we're going to reach the time of Yeshayahu, which is the 750s of before the Common Era. Okay, everyone, I want to wish everybody a good night. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for indulging that we started a little bit later tonight. And I apologize for those who have an early time to go to sleep. but thank you for holding on and accommodating the schedule. Rabbis, I'm also a shul rabbi, so I have to juggle many different things in addition to communal responsibilities, in addition to teaching during the day. So I appreciate everybody's indulgence. Have a great Shabbos, everybody, and I will see you next week. Shabbat Shalom. Please keep in mind, obviously, all of the hostages and the soldiers who are fighting and all those who are in harm's way. And we wish them Shmira Me'ula. We wish them a protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmira, and soon let there be peace in Israel.
Amen.
Shalom, Israel.